Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
BGIF, everybody. Thanks for kicking your Memorial Day weekend off with us right here on Undisputed. Woo! Are the Celtics about to make history? I'm Jen Hale, that is Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Gentlemen, you both called last night's game spot on.
Yeah, I'm feeling real good.
I'm feeling way better because the Heat got you and the Celtics right where they were.
No,
right back in Miami for game six.
Yeah.
Just like I predicted.
You in trouble,
Skip. Here we go. No.
I bet you feel the heat.
I'm so good.
Feel the heat?
I feel so good.
Okay.
You're going to be in such trouble.
All right, we're about to find out.
Yeah.
I love it. We needed a deep run after that Lakers series ended so quickly. Celtics, zero issue, guys, winning game five last night over the Heat. Boston led by as many as 24 points. Miami never held the lead. Celtics had four starters score at least 21 points in a 110-97 win. The Heat, of course, very shorthanded. Shannon, you said yesterday if the Celtics won by 12 or more, they'd go on to make history and win this series overall. Are you going to stick with that prediction now?
I absolutely am. The last two games, they've been dominant. And they go on the road and they blow them out. And in Miami, they come home. And what's happening, Skip, is that Miami is starting to shoot the three ball like they did in the regular season. They're not playing above their head as far as shooting the basketball. Mm. And so now they've come back to who they actually are. And the Celtics are player for player, are a better team. Their two best players are better. I believe their role players are better. So when you factor that in, they forced the Heat into 16 turnovers, led to 27 points, had four players. The first time, they had four players all over 21 points. So when you can get production like that, they took care of the basketball. They forced Miami, what Miami was doing to the Celtics, forcing them to turn the ball and creating points. Boston flipped the script, forced them into turnovers, created points off that. I just think the thing is, Skip, they got them right where they want them. They do. And they keep saying it. Don't let us get another game. You know, they started out marching with 0-3. Mm-hmm. They get one. They better not let us get another one. So they're going to keep that going, Skip. Mm-hmm. I think your Heat are in trouble. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler is struggling. What do you have, 14 points last night? 5 of 10. The other night, what was he, 9 of 21? He was real inefficient. Mm-hmm. They're doing a great job on him. And because the other guys are not playing so far above their head like they did in the first three games, they kind of come back to the pack. Boston has sized them up, seized the moment. I like it going 3-3 on Saturday and then coming back Monday and close this thing out.
I picked it in six. You laughed at me when I said the Heat in six because you couldn't fathom it would go beyond four.
No, I thought they win a game. I did think they'd win one game.
Gentleman sweep,
yeah.
Said Shannon Sharp. I said Heat in six. I am standing by Heat in six. I love Heat in six because it sets up perfectly for the Heat to ride the roller coaster that is driven by the Boston Celtics. I'm going to say this again. Something has been missing from your Boston Celtics all year long. It will manifest itself once again in Game 6 back in Miami.
You better hope so.
Just when you least expect it, you have a game from the Boston Celtics. It's happened all season long. I'm going to say it again. They lost three times to Orlando, twice in Boston to Orlando. Going into last night, they had lost 5 of 9 home playoff games. I give them last night, but I gave them last night yesterday. I first guessed yesterday. I said they'd win by 20, and most of the game they were ahead by right around 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it got a little closer and went all the way to 13. I thought, oh, my God, are you going to flip your pick because it gets to 12?
No, because we see that they had a big lead. No, we were good.
Okay. The Celtics are front runners. The Celtics live and die by the three-point shot, and they were falling from unexpected sources such as my guy from the San Antonio Spurs, Derek White. What did he do last night? He made 6 of 8 threes. He made 3 threes in the first quarter. And I'm about to show you why this game was over almost before it started. Because I give your Celtics this. They carried the momentum from game four right into a home game five, and they came out and played far more desperate basketball than the visiting team played last night. The visiting team did not show up last night. The Celtics showed some serious green Celtic pride last night and said, watch this, this is who we can be. Mm-hmm. And then it felt like after the game that they had won the championship. It felt like they had decided, we just made history. We are just about to win four straight games, because it felt like they won all four in a row just last night. That was the feeling in the arena and in the locker room and all the post-game interviews. Okay, so this game was highly misleading because, number one, Gabe Vincent did not play. I was not shocked he did not play, because you and I both looked at that ankle turn in game four, and it didn't look great.
Correct.
But they said, according to Allie LaForce on TNT, that her stand-up report right at the start of the game was, they said they were holding him out for sort of precautionary reasons, like he could have played if he'd had to, but obviously they have a little bit of rope to play with here. So all the indications are that he will go in game six. I don't know exactly what's going on with his ankle, but I'm just going to think that he's going to go and be pretty to very good in game six. All Gabe Vincent had done through the first four games was make 11 of 22 threes. All he had done was turn Shannon Sharp into a believer, because you told me a couple times, every time he went up into a three-point shot, you were like, that's good, right?
Well, the game two or game three, he had a 29-3.
He had 29 points in game three. He is their fire starter. He is their initiator. Their best player by far is Jimmy Butler. I'll get to him in just a moment. But they missed Gabe Vincent handling the basketball, bringing the basketball up, playing some point guard, even though Jimmy is obviously the sort of point forward of the orchestrator of the team. But without him, they had to shift Kyle Lowry up into a role that he's no longer capable of fulfilling, and that's to be the starting point guard. Okay. He's 37 years of age. He's battered. He's beat up. He's close to broken. He's got this going on, that going on. Last night, he's holding on to his ring finger on his shooting hand. I don't know what that was about. But the point was, the game was actually over before it even started, because on the very first play of the game, they win the tip, the Miami Heat, and they go down. And they have two really good players. One, Jimmy Butler. He's number one. And sort of 1A is Bam Adebayo. And can we see what Bam did on the very first offensive possession of the game? Marcus Smart just picks his pocket. And off to the races they go. And guess what? Jason Tatum's off to his races. Yep. And it's 2-0. It might as well have been 200-0 at that point, because the ceiling was about to fall in on the visiting team, because Shannon Sharp, in the first quarter, they managed to turn it over six times. So now I will show you the next five turnovers, all in the first quarter, from the Miami Heat. This is not Miami Heat basketball that I knew and loved.
I don't know what that was.
That looked like Westbrook. And then Bam is trapped, and he stepped out of bounds. And then here goes Kyle Lowry. What was that?
That's Bam and West, Kyle Lowry West had 10 of the 16.
I got it. And then whoops. And then whoops. And then what? And then there we go with Cody Zeller. And he loses it. And that's another one. And so I'm looking at my breakdown here of this. These are called live ball turnovers, where all of a sudden you lose the ball and they get the ball and there's no whistle, right? And the ball's just going and going and going to the other end. And all of a sudden I'm looking at the Bam travel. Jaylen Brown hit a three, and I'm looking at that second Kyle Lowry bad pass, and Marcus Smart hits a three right after that. I'm looking at the Bam steps out of bounds, and all of a sudden Derek White hits yet another three. And then the Cody Zeller, at that point they're down 14, and then they end the first quarter 35-20, down 15, over, ball game. Might as well not even play the rest of the night. Is that Miami Heat basketball, I ask you? No, and yet, here we go again with this three-point shooting. The Celtics, way more than the Heat, live and die with the three-point shot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? And so I look at the game, Shannon. Look at what the Celtics, in the first three games, here are those three losses. They go Celtics from three, 34.5% in game one. Game two is 28.6%. Game three, which was just a nightmare, 26.2%. And then boom, they flip the script and they go 40.0%.
Right.
And you know what the stat is? They're 38 and 2, 40 plus percent. And then last night, 41. So they go 40 and 41% in their two turnarounds. Can they go back to Miami and shoot 42%? I say no way. Which brings me to your best player, the guy that you love. I thought maybe you'd come out here in that Jason Tatum.
No.
Are you saving it for Monday?
No, it was Derek White. I should have came out here with a headband.
Okay, well, should you?
Yeah, did you think about it? Yeah.
Well, at least the Spurs got something going for him because he at least was a Spur, right?
But I had to get a haircut. My haircut had to start at the 50-yard line to get like Derek White.
Okay, well, but that's a fact. Now you're taking a shot.
You were talking about that's a fact.
That is a fact. I give you fact. Okay, there was one key sort of under-the-radar stat here.
Okay.
I'm looking at my box score says Jason Tatum was 1 of 6 from three. So they shot 41%, 16 of 39. Way to go, Boston. Wait, 1 of 6 from three? Huh. I'm looking at Jason Tatum in this series so far. He's 10 of 35. That's 28.6%. Gee, that's not very good.
Yeah, he's definitely struggling for a bit.
By the way, just for the record, just for the scope of this, the last four regular seasons, Jason Tatum, first team All-NBA 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
The last four seasons, his three-point percentage through the regular season has fallen each of four times. It's sort of like Ezekiel Elliott-like, right?
In yards
per game. Okay, so it just falls. Four straight years it fell all the way to just 35% this year. During the regular season, just for the record, would you believe that Jason Tatum, he attempted 686 three-point shots. That was second in the whole league to Klay Thompson. 686.
Wow.
So he went 240 of 686, 35%. Not great. Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler is the best player on the other team. He knows his limitations. He's like Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry. Man's got to know his limitations. And Jimmy just says, I don't shoot threes because I'm not very good at shooting threes.
Right.
So last night he tried two and he missed two. But those were desperation threes. So what did Jimmy do during the regular season? He managed to shoot 103 attempted threes, 103. So would you believe that during the regular season, Jason Tatum shot 533 more threes than Jimmy Butler? So once again, I get back to game six. Are you sure that Jason Tatum's going to make six or seven threes? Because he's going to have to if they're going to win this game.
Maybe not six or seven, but Skip, can he be better than 1 of 6? Mm-hmm. Let's start with that premise and just work our way back. Because can he be any worse? Can he shoot 28%? Is he going to shoot 28% again? At some point in time, Skip, he got to get a hot hand.
Okay.
He's too good of a player not to.
All right. Speaking of hot hands, you're going to laugh at this one, but I'm going to throw this out because I found last night very interesting.
Okay.
Most people probably turned it off except for Celtic Nation. Mm-hmm. But let's start with the key stat of the night was Boston starters outscored Miami starters 94 to 46. There was a flip to that stat. There was a backstory to that stat, and it was that Miami's bench outscored Boston's bench 53-15. Is that good? That's pretty great.
Well, why they did that, Skip, is that the starters were out. I mean, you go ahead and take, I mean, they did play for a while. But
it's just versus bench.
Here's the thing, Skip. Their starters played the entire fourth quarter. So they got numbers where Boston, because if you look at Boston, Jason Tatum still played 41 minutes.
Yep.
Derek White played 37 minutes. Marcus Smart played 30 minutes. Jaylen Brown played 37 minutes.
To that point, after the first quarter, guess who won the last three quarters of the game? Would you believe the Miami Heat won 77-75?
Yeah, but they did. Y'all out of gas, though. Y'all out of gas.
Wait a second. I know one player is not out of gas.
Who?
His name is Haywood Highsmith.
Ah, oh, man, stop it.
Would you believe that Haywood Highsmith against the Celtics this year has scored, last night he had 14, but he's also scored 16 and 15 against the Boston Celtics.
Oh, you
Celtics.
Want to put him in the starting lineup now?
He's a Celtic killer. I think you got to push the button. At least you got to play him higher minutes. He's 6 feet 7 inches tall out of some little school in West Virginia called Welling that I'd never heard of before, but he's another undrafted keeper, a product of Pat Riley's culture in Miami. And all he did last night was, you see your stat sheet? He made 5 out of 6 shots. He made all three of his threes. Well,
he made 6 out of 9, Skip.
What's that?
He made six out of nine.
I'm just looking at the second half.
Oh, okay, second half. Because he played 36 minutes. Yeah, he played starters minutes.
I'm just doing the second half.
Okay. My bad.
Okay, so he was putting up quiet numbers.
Yeah.
And if they get Gabe Vincent back, and I don't know, Tyler Hero at some point, he's doing some basketball things. Maybe he'll play a few minutes here and there. I know he's got a broken right hand, but at least he's dribbling and shooting with his right hand before the game.
You know people chop. You know people try to slap
they'll
the ball
slap,
away.
They'll chop. I got that.
You ready for that, Skip?
I am totally ready for what's about to happen because the Miami Heat, as Bam said after the game, he said, look, how can you say we've lost our confidence? Nobody believed in us from the start anyway.
Right.
Now they get to hear for 48 hours that they're dead in the water.
Yeah, they did.
They get to hear from Shannon Sharp, we got you.
Roadkill.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about a Jaylen Brown quote a little later, but Jaylen Brown said in a TNT on-court interview, only team that can stop us is us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just saying you ain't you know what,
right?
Yeah. It's all about us. And so we finally found us, says Jaylen Brown, and here we go, and we romp and stomp back in Miami for game 6. Listen, you're dealing with a very proud culture in Miami.
Are they prouder than Celtic pride?
Yeah, they're prouder because these are still young Celtics who have accomplished nothing.
They're about to accomplish something now.
Okay, well, I love hearing you say that because the Miami Heat just a few years back, a lot of these same players did play LeBron and AD in the finals in the bubble. It was 3 years ago.
Y'all beat the Celtic team to get to that point.
All right. So they've been playing this Celtic team every single year with a different head coach, right? It is time for them to, as you say, summons up their pride, their culture, because they are a better basketball team than the Celtics. They can play better basketball than the Celtics. And obviously, it starts and ends with Jimmy Butler. The last two games, he has not been playoff Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say he's been way off Jimmy because last night he was just unplugged. He was disengaged. And you know and I know he has these weird Jimmy games.
He does.
Am I right?
Yeah, he does.
Where he just, you're like, what's going on? It's what's going on in the regular season. It's why he didn't make the All-Star team, but he did make second team All-NBA.
Yeah.
It's because he paces himself. He plays chess with the game of basketball in ways nobody else does because he just says, I pace myself.
Yeah, but Skip,
if we're up 3-0, I don't have to give my all in game 4. I don't have to give every last ounce in game 5 because in our hip pocket is game 6 back in our place.
Yeah, but Skip, you see how Gabe Vincent stepped wrong and boo-boo, ankle.
You see
Caleb Martin, his knee buckled a little bit when he stepped.
It looked scary.
You see?
It hyperextended. It went backwards.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
But he went to the free throw line and shot the free throw.
So you see all these things, like when you prolong a series, all you do is subject or open yourself up to one of these things. Now, you know if something happened, and hopefully that doesn't happen to Jimmy, now you really in a bind.
Okay.
So I just think the thing is, Skip, is that you had two opportunities to kill this snake. And somehow you was like, well, I'm going to let him live another day.
Okay. They did. They didn't. I give you game 4.
Right.
Because they're up 9 early in the third quarter. And at that point, Jimmy decides to miss 6 straight shots. Not that he decided, but he goes way off Jimmy.
Right.
And they go on an 18-0 run. And it quickly, in over a 3-minute span, it goes from down 9 to up 9. Mm-hmm. And that was that. And you could... If you were right about what you're saying, we will all look back at that point, that was the flashpoint flip of the series where Miami had it. They had the finals. They had the Denver Nuggets. Here they go. They were going to get whatever it is, 6 days off, 7 days off. And instead, this happened. Let me ask you this. Can you really see a Pat Riley culture team, an Eric Spoelstra coach team, going down in historical flames? Because I cannot.
I do.
Listen, if Pat Riley has to suit up tomorrow night, he'll suit up.
Well, you told me. How about LeBron James got shot up the court by a Pat Riley Heat culture, the Eric Spoelstra coach team? You told me how LeBron James got shot up the court by your San Antonio Spurs.
They did.
So it's possible.
Okay. Well, it's possible, but that was Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili. Yeah. That's fighting big fire with big fire.
Well, they got the law firm, Derek White making shots.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brogdon, you know, he's struggling a little bit right now. He's really, really struggling. He only played 8 minutes, Skip.
Is Joe Mazzulla Greg Popovich?
Nah.
I think not.
He might. You never know. Popovich wasn't Popovich when he first started.
He wasn't until Tim Duncan fell out of the sky.
Exactly.
Okay. I give you that.
Well, they ain't got no Tim Duncan.
Okay. So I'm here to say your stat, 38-2, over 40%. Ooh. They won't shoot 40%. They won't shoot 40%
shoot 40.
In Miami.
You mess around, they might shoot 50.
Gabe Vincent is shooting 50 so far in this series, and I believe he is highly capable of shooting 50 in Game 6.
They were very engaged defensively, Skip, and it started from the opening tip.
It did.
You see what happened? Bam got the ball, tried to come inside.
Yep. He picked his pocket.
Yeah, Marcus Smart.
Okay, so you are guaranteeing a victory in Game 6.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure as you can get.
Okay, I'm guaranteeing a Heat victory in Game 6.
You want to put a case on it? We already got a case on the series. We got a case on the series. Want to put another case on this game?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, I put two cases on this
game. You want to put two?
Yeah.
Sorry I'm coming.
Okay.
Y'all sorry too, huh? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I do it. See, I start out low, like, because you have to do two from the jump. You're like, nah, let's do it. That's how I got you up.
Front. Running.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah.
Why JT hit a couple of threes early?
Yeah, you're going to front run right into playoff Jimmy. That's what's going to happen.
Skip, I don't know, Skip.
Jimmy just matter-of-factly said last night after the game, we will close out in Game 6.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where did we hear that before? Mm. Didn't Desmond Bane say that same thing?
No, well,
then we're going to come back. We're going to win Game 5. We're going to go to L.A. and win Game 6. And we're going to come back to Memphis and win Game 7.
Let's see. Desmond Bane, Jimmy Butler, Desmond Bane. I think I'll go with Jimmy Butler.
No, I'm just saying. Say anything. Miles, say anything.
Yeah. Is Jimmy Butler not an historically great playoff player?
Yes.
Right?
But OJT. OJT money, put it in the bank.
Good old 1-for-6 from three.
Put it in the bank. Skip.
I love old 1-for-6.
Put it in the bank.
He should get a new. He should change his number to 1-for-6, right?
Okay. You see how you talking? You talking bad about it?
All right.
And you see JB?
I'm talking JB facts got about him.
And Derrick White. You see old Derrick White?
Oh, boy.
You used to love Derrick White. I remember you say Derrick White was on the cusp of being a star player.
He was. Well, he is a star.
I don't know about all
he
that.
He was a great pickup for them, but he will not sustain. He will not repeat.
He'll do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He going
to
do it.
Big spenders. I love the swagger, guys. Way to start the show this morning.
Yep.
Speaking of starting, Kyle Lowry in the Heat starting lineup last night for Gabe Vincent, his first start since February 2nd. We'll see if Gabe can come back, if he's ready to start, or if Lowry continues to fill that role.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow the Joel Klatt Show on Spotify. And I won't
back down. Yesterday, Shams reported LeBron James played through the last few months of the season, including the playoffs, with a torn tendon in his foot that could require off-season surgery. Woo! Shannon, what's your reaction?
This is not anything shocking. Everybody knew this. Everybody knew they saw LeBron, how he played from his birthday to February 7th. We heard him say, I heard a pop. We came out here and talked about it. And Skip said, well, you heard a pop? How you still playing?
Well, he kept playing. He played right through it.
Did he say he heard a pop?
He did see it.
Okay. What did Sean report?
We're showing the play right here, I believe. Yep. Okay. It was a sort of a non-contact.
He said, I heard a pop.
Okay.
He said, I heard a pop.
Okay. And then he played 10 minutes of that fourth quarter. That was late third.
Yes.
He played 10 minutes. He scored 11 more points. He made 5 out of 9 shots, 1 of 3 from three. Didn't get the free throw line, but he still scored 11 points through the fourth quarter, and they hung on to win 111-108.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just for the record, that's what happened.
Gabe Vincent sprained his ankle. We saw it.
Yeah.
He came back in the game and played the rest of the game, right? He missed the following game, right?
He went to the locker room.
But did he come back out and play?
Just a little bit. He didn't play very much because the game was
out of hand,
completely out of control.
So the question is, I'm asking you, from December 30th to February 7th, when he was 100% healthy, And after he say he heard the pop, did you notice any difference in LeBron James' play? Yes or no?
Maybe some. But did you notice any difference in the first quarter of game four?
Skip.
What happened in the first quarter of game four?
Skip, see, that's the thing.
No, but I mean, did he play?
Yes, yeah. He played.
And?
Skip, when you're injured, you can give it to you once in a while.
I'm not doubting he's injured. I'm just saying he just kept right. He played right on through.
But here's the thing. I remember when the report came out after the season that Tom Brady had to have a meniscus. Oh, he did it. He played on a torn meniscus. I don't know how you believe everything somebody would.
He played on a torn ligament.
Okay, saying ligament. Yeah. The meniscus is a ligament, right?
No. Meniscus cartilage.
So what do you have?
MCL tear.
Okay. Why is it that you believe everything someone tells you about Tom Brady when it comes to an injury, but you have your doubts when they mention anything?
I don't have my doubts.
But you say you didn't know everybody saw Skip. So how do you go from being player of the month for the month of January, averaging 35 points a game, to all of a sudden you missing point blank layups? You see LeBron was not elevating like he was during that stretch. So you chalk it up to Father Time?
I don't know. Maybe. Okay. But I also scored 21 points in the first quarter was what the other night? It was the most points he's ever scored in any playoff quarter.
So probably,
then he went on to score 10 in the second quarter, which gave him the most points he's ever scored in a half of a playoff game. 31 points.
Prior to that, from that stretch from December, so the six-week stretch, December 30th to February 7th, did you notice LeBron James at any point pace himself? You saw how many chase downs did he have? He was getting two, three chase.
Time out. Why are you? Look, this is old news. We already did this.
No. But
it's very old news.
No, but the thing was is that you.
I believe something was wrong. I told you something was wrong. I told you what I got a hold of a prominent surgeon, national surgeon who does a whole lot of NBA players. They sent him the X-rays at this point, right after this pop game, and they said, "Can you consult on this?" And he said, "I looked at it. I didn't see a tendon problem as much as I saw both ankles are just a mess because he's got so much scar tissue. He thought that he was going to need some ankle surgery cleanup. So I told you, yes, he's hurt. He is struggling on both ankles because how many times have we watched him turn it? You think Gabe Vincent turned his ankle? Right. I've seen LeBron turn the knob of
his ankle bone
to the floor.
Yes.
I've seen it. I know what that feels like from running shoes. It is horrible. And how many times, Shannon, has he popped right up during the game and just shook off his ankle turn and played through it?
Right.
Well, at some point, if you play the most minutes ever in playoff plus regular, your ankles are going to wear out if you do that enough. So whatever it is, it could be a tendon, it could be the ankles. I don't know. I just tell you what I told. I believe he's got some issues that need to be surgically addressed. I think you can scope them. I don't think it's going to require a big surgery on the tendon.
Well, I was at a couple of games, and it seemed like every time he came out of the game, he would take that shoe off and he would roll it over something. Because from his birthday until he passed Kareem on February 7th, he averaged 34 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. He shot 52% from the floor, 34% from three.
Yep.
And he was chasing down. He was unstoppable. After the injury, 10 points fewer, the same amount of rebounds, 2 assists, 4 percentage points, and 5 percentage points from three.
Okay.
Difference.
I got it. I'm not arguing. But this was not news to me. And I think you opened up by saying, this is old story, right?
For me.
Hey, and you say you don't listen to the sound?
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I heard through three rounds of the playoffs, LeBron's playing on a hurt foot. It was constant. It was a barrage of LeBron's playing on a bad foot.
I didn't have no sources. I'm just looking at watching him from my television and then watching him the way he played before that injury and then seeing him after that injury. It was clear to me. I didn't need a doctor to tell me that there's something wrong with his foot.
Okay.
Or something. I know something's wrong with his foot. But even if the doctor hadn't told me it was a foot, I would know something was wrong based on the way he was playing.
Okay. My issue with LeBron in the four games against Denver was simply this. Hurt or no, I'll give you hurt.
Yeah.
But you're still LeBron bleeping James. And four straight times against the team that will be picked, be favored over whichever team comes out. I'm pretty sure Denver's going to be favored over if it's Boston or definitely over Miami.
Yes.
Because Miami's a 3.5-point dog at home to Boston.
Correct.
Would Denver be favored over Boston?
It's going to be close. Yeah. Okay. It's almost even money probably.
Okay. Speaking of even money, the Lakers had four straight chances. And I thought this was going to be a home and home series. I thought it was going to go seven, and I gave Denver the slight edge in a game seven in Denver, only because it was mile high Denver.
Okay.
The point is, they just needed a shot here or there, a clutch play here or there, a defensive play here or there, just something.
Right.
Because every time it came to push or shove in the fourth quarter, either Joker or Jamal made a play. And it
True.
Could be offense or defense.
True.
Even Jamal's last play on LeBron
yeah.
on the drive.
Right.
They made the pivotal key play. Where you look back and you say, oh, but he did that, right? He did that. It's timely. It's you gotta.
Right.
And they had four straight chances. That's why this whole idea of let's blow up the roster and start. Why?
No.
I loved what I saw.
Yeah.
Give this roster a whole training camp
right.
and a whole year
I
to
agree.
Figure itself out. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So all I know is my disappointment with LeBron, and it could be you can attribute at least part of it to whatever foot injury he had. Is that he went 7 of 23 in the four fourth quarters. He's better than that. 7 of 23. That's
from 30%. Three, though, right?
No, from the
field.
Field.
Okay.
From the floor. He was 1 of 10 from three
okay.
in the four
okay.
fourth quarters.
Yes.
And then for the whole series, I loved his numbers. Tuesday morning,
right.
I told you, man, I can't argue with 28, 10, and 10 because, Shannon, for 38 in year 20, 28, 10, and 10 in the Western Conference Finals, that will stand the test of time.
Right.
That's sensational
right.
given stage and age.
Right.
Okay. But what I don't love is he takes and misses too many threes because in this series he shot 27% from three, which
That's
was 7
enough.
Of 26. It's
right.
not good enough. For the playoffs, he was 26% the three rounds. They got away with it against Memphis and Golden State. But it was the third worst shooting by a single player in a whole playoff run in history. And the first worst was LeBron in 2015. Well, a lot of times he's so good at all the other stuff that
right.
you just overcome it and
right.
get away with it. But against Denver, they're just too good.
Right. And Skip, I think a lot of that had to do with, you say, the fourth quarters. I think sometimes the mind is willing, but the body isn't able.
Okay, well, you could be right. Okay, so what were the turning points? Remember game one, he comes down, and even you said, I don't know, because he's just better. He pulls up at 45 seconds left on Jamal and shoots a three and kind of kicks his foot out like trying to get a cheap foul because it was way wide right, and I don't think his heart was in this shot. Now here we go. This is the KCP miss. Had him on the ropes at this point. This is at Denver game one. Boy, if you win this game, I got you in the series here.
Especially if you come from behind.
From behind, and he just said, I got, and he kicked his leg out, and it's way wide right. Anyway, the point is, then game two, this isn't the end of the world, but he makes a great steal. He plays
yeah.
center field, plays mm-hmm. free safety.
Yep.
He goes Ed Reed,
yep.
and Jamal tries a cross-court pass, and he picks it, and then he goes up and under, and I guess he was a little wary of
Aaron Gordon
over the
yeah.
top, but... Man, if he makes this shot, you cut it to two. I like your chances right here. And usually, heck, a lot of times,
he
might just dunk this.
Skip, he just flat out smoked
okay,
it.
Okay, he did. Is that a lift problem? Could be.
Yes.
Listen, there is a time 10 years ago.
He'd have dunked it.
I'm pretty sure he reverse dunks
it. He dunked
it.
You're absolutely right.
He might and won it.
And won it.
Okay. That was that game. And then we get to game four, and you know and I know what happened. I didn't like the play they called on the that you got two
yeah,
late
yeah,
shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they're daring him to shoot the shooter, and then he goes to Schroeder, who tries to hot potato over to Austin Reeves in the corner, and he gets knocked out of bounds. Well, now you only have 3.6 seconds left on the clock, and they don't get a shot up, and LeBron gets stuck in the corner
yeah.
with a fadeaway that hits the side of the backboard. It's just no good. It's no good. I don't like anything about it. You can do better than that.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, that's a coaching error to me, where somebody's got to come up with a better idea for that. Okay, then we get to the last play, and I loved it that LeBron just said, I am LeBron bleeping James. I'm putting my head down. I'm going to go to the basket. If I have to shoot these free throws, I'll shoot these free throws. That's still the fadeaway. Now we get to the last play here. And he just goes, and this is perfect. And Jamal makes the defensive play of the year. The whole year, you can't find a better defensive play than that. That is a playoff turning play. It's a playoff making play. That play put them in the NBA Finals for the first time in their history.
It did.
Because he jumped the route. He crossed the path of LeBron because he anticipated and got completely on his ball side.
Right.
And stymies him by basically pulling right. the ball away from it, and then Aaron Gordon gets the cheapest block in the history of the NBA playoffs. Okay, so again, foot injury, I give you this. I'm hoping, it, depending on what the severity is,
right.
I'm hoping that we hear in the next 2 or 3 days, maybe by Monday, that he's going to have some surgery, because the sooner the better for next year.
Well, I think the thing is he's waiting for the doctor to say, well, probably with time it'll heal on its
maybe.
Own. Because, Skip, I mean, he's really never had, I don't know for the maybe, and we've never heard about it,
yep.
had them go into his body. And I'm sure he doesn't want to start that, Skip, going into year 21.
Well, he's never, right?
He, right. Never. To my knowledge.
I don't know anything.
Right.
So no knees, no shoulders, no Achilles, obviously,
right.
no ankles.
So,
no.
you know, at this stage of the at this juncture of the game,
yeah.
you ain't really trying to have no surgery.
No.
The later you get, you try to have less surgery.
I know. And yet, on a daily basis, we hear that so-and-so's having surgery. Jimmy Garoppolo, The Athletic reported yesterday, he just had foot surgery. Really?
Like, damn. It was obviously
okay.
They played a game, football game in
okay.
3 months, four
All
months.
Right. Okay. So it happens to humans.
Right.
And he is...
human.
He has been superhuman,
yeah.
and he has been Iron Man,
right.
but after a certain point, you just can't keep on keeping.
But will you concede this, that you've heard people since the playoffs started, that Father Time is touching LeBron,
sure.
and they're not
well,
mentioning
look,
anything about the injury?
We heard it a bunch of times.
Okay.
We heard
okay.
Brian Windhorst saying he's getting texts. I don't know if those people were thinking because he's hurt,
right.
but that he's hit the wall, like this is the end.
But I would like to ask Wendy. How many texts did you get from December 30th to February 7th that mentioned anything about Father Time? They might have called and asked, what time are you meeting?
Well,
what time will you be free? But they didn't mention anything about Father or Time.
Well, he might have gotten texts during that period about LeBron's going to play 10 more years.
No, brother, he's playing. I bet he got a bunch of texts saying LeBron is playing at an MVP level. I bet he got a bunch
of
those.
No, he was.
At
that point. But remember, back I'm reading that old story, what came out right after February 26th, and he said he found the LeBron James of foot doctors who
yeah.
told him you can play through this and
right.
it's going to be okay.
Yeah,
right?
it's all about how you can talk.
Yeah,
but Skip,
yeah.
think about this. Even after the injury, he averaged 24 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists.
Okay,
that's not shabby.
Well, who wouldn't take that?
But
I mean, what team wouldn't take that from player X or Y?
Well, see, when yeah. you the GOAT, you see the expectations that you have of the GOAT.
You were doing great until you went to GOAT.
Did you see the expectation? Because what you did, Skip, is that you didn't compare him to any other great player.
Mm.
You compared him to a younger self.
Mm.
Huh?
Well, if we want to start comparing him to that guy up in Chicago, then we don't have enough show.
Liz Taylor got compared to no one. She got compared to a younger Liz Taylor.
Uh-huh.
You see what I did with that Skip Bayless?
Not
when
sure
you gorgeous
that.
Like that, they compare you to your younger self.
Really?
When you that great, they compare you to your younger self. They don't compare you to other greats.
Hmm.
They compare you to a younger you.
Did you ever see Raquel Welch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Woo.
In the movie with Dirty
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown. What, the Dirty Does?
No. 100
Riflemen. Yeah. Yeah, I saw her.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw her.
Well, if we compare Liz to Raquel,
yeah, I'm just saying.
No.
But you compare Raquel to a younger Raquel.
Yeah.
So when you compare the GOAT,
yeah.
you compare the GOAT, the Billy GOAT, to the baby GOAT.
The billionaire GOAT.
Yeah, old Billy.
Yeah, I
B-I-L-L-I,
yeah.
Billy.
Except Michael is the...
There you go. Hey,
wait. He's the triple Billy Goat.
There you go.
Is he not the triple? He's
yes.
like for 3 billion.
Skip, I'm just saying. Why you got to bring Mike in? I ain't even mentioned Mike.
Mike. Yeah, he's like in another league, like in another echelon, another galaxy far, far away. That's true. Okay,
look,
I give you
everybody
that.
Knows Mike is the foundation. He's what everybody else is trying to copy.
Mm.
Now, he's not, you know, Mike didn't really, you know, like these guys now, Skip. See, Mike gave him the blueprint. Mike, you know, once he got out, he was a shoe thing. But once he got out, he started doing, you know, doing other things. Now these guys are doing it while they're playing because they're making so much. Well, how much money do you think Michael made in his career? $65, $70 million, $80 million?
He always took a hometown discount.
I remember when Mike was making $5 million a year.
He was. Correct.
I mean, his last 2 years is when Mike made real money.
Yeah.
Skip these guys making 40 or 50 million a year.
Well, when he started making real money, if you see the movie Air,
yeah.
is when his mom said he will get a percentage. This is when he's a rookie going into his rookie year. He will get a percentage of every shoe sold.
Yes.
Well, that only made him several billion dollars, right?
Yes.
But who knew?
I saw it. Finally saw the movie.
It's a good one.
They had a little fabrication. Know, they got a little embellishing. But the storyline of what it came to be.
I thought it touched my heart.
He was going to Adidas if it wasn't for his mom.
That is correct.
Because Cons, at the time, North Carolina wore Converse.
They did.
But it was Adidas, Cons, Nike. Nike wasn't what it is right now.
They were a running shoe.
And Sonny Vaccaro did a good job he didn't go there, but said, she's looking at him like, okay, well, if you got Magic and Bird and you got Dr. J, how does my son stand out? But he'll be Magic. He'd say, nah, my son a standalone.
Mama knew best.
Mama knew best.
Yes.
Mamas always know best. Yeah. Wise words. Guys, real quick, back to LeBron. The other interesting thing that Shams had to say on the Pat McAfee show yesterday to me was that he fully believes he's going to re-energize, reset this offseason, and play again next season. So,
can you imagine
good news for LeBron
fans. I can imagine.
NBA Finals, here we come.
Really?
NBA Finals, here we come. Whew. Here we come.
I won't bet against that.
Yeah,
you should. Let's find out.
You lose your money.
Baseball is back, and so is Flippin' Bats.
5 times a week, Monday through Friday.
So follow us on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Mike McCarthy is taking over the Cowboys' play-calling duties with the departure of Kellen Moore. Dak Prescott talked about the changes yesterday. Take a listen.
It's different. I'll tell you, you hear that accent a little bit more when you're calling these plays. I called one out there today. I'm going to look back like, oh, is that the right? And it was just his accent was tough to hear. But no, it's been fun. Being able to just work with him in that light, you know what I mean? And every day hands on, it's exciting. It's refreshing. And I know he's enjoying it, getting back into football, head first into the film and just what we're doing. So it's exciting.
Skip, I know you were itching to jump in on this one, but let me let Shannon go first real quick. How much better, Shannon, will Mike McCarthy's play calling make this offense?
You know what, Skip? When Kellen Moore was calling them plays and they was leading the league in points and yards, play calling wasn't an issue.
No.
Play calling became an issue when they lost or when Dak started turning the ball over. Now, you know he missed 5 games, right, Skip? With a fractured thumb. Dak tied for the league in interception with 15 and pick sixes. He finished with a career-high 17 interception if you include those in the playoffs.
Yep.
Dak turnovers happened at the most inopportune, the absolute worst time.
Yep.
Hence, 49ers. They going in to score. Look like they about to get control of the game. Can we guess what did Dak do? Right on cue.
Right on
cue. Look who?
Yeah.
We saw him against Washington last game. Like, Dak, what are you doing?
Yep.
Look, I get it. You want to blame Kellen Moore where he didn't run the ball enough and Kellen Moore is interested in stats and lighting up the scoreboard. When you lighting up the scoreboard, when you scoring 40 points and Dak was throwing for 400 yards, I ain't hear not one person say. As a matter of fact, Jerry Jones, he praised. Kudos on Kellen Moore and the play calling that he was doing.
Did he?
Now, all of a sudden, Dak looked like some stir-fry party last year. Mm-hmm. That Kellen Moore fault. So I want to know whose fault is going to be Kellen Moore. Hey, Dak, I want you to throw an interception on 2. Ready, break. Aim to play Kellen Moore call. Stop blaming Kellen Moore. Dak has to do a better job of taking care of the football.
Yeah.
And guess what? You about to find out how much the play calling impacts that.
Mm-hmm. I am bullish on this move to Mike McCarthy because, for once, I'm going to know what Mike McCarthy actually does next year. He calls plays. And I will say this. For the 13 years he coached in Green Bay, for most of those years, he called the plays for Brett Favre, and then he called them for Aaron Rodgers. He even called plays through a whole Super Bowl season in which they went on the road as a wild card team and went boom, 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 championship at Jerry World. Of all places at Jerry World, he and Aaron Rodgers, mostly Aaron Rodgers, won the championship. But he was calling all the plays. Was it just because Aaron could execute them at a higher level than most quarterbacks could at that point in his career? Yeah, I'll give you that. But I want to see, if he can turn Dak around by often taking the ball out of Dak's hands, because he has already been on the record. Mike McCarthy, I am committed to running the damn football. I'm good with it because Tony Pollard is already back out on the field at the OTAs from his surgery.
Okay.
Does that bode well? They say he's going to be full speed, 100%.
By the time camp starts.
At least by the time the season starts.
Oh, season's okay. Yeah. Okay, great.
They added Ronald Jones. He's just a workhorse back, but he's a banger, and I'm happy with the depth there. They still got Malik, and now they've added, I told you, the steal of the draft to me came in the sixth round when they scooped up Deuce Vaughn. Mm-hmm. He's a little big man. We can go round and round back and forth about, is he all that? He's all that. I've seen him against high enough level competition, even against Alabama in the bowl game. They couldn't stop him. He put up 150 against Alabama. Maybe Alabama's heart wasn't in the game, you can argue. but still, Shannon, he can play. He can play slot receiver. He can run between the tackles. He's just a little dynamo. Dynamite does come in smaller packages, and he's dynamite.
Right.
So I'm going to love the electricity that he brings to the offense because he's going to become a big fan favorite right out of the box because he, you know this, running backs of all the positions, they will translate quickly.
Absolutely.
In fact, as I look back on Zeke's career with Dallas, his best year by far was his rookie year. He dominated. He took the league over. Mm-hmm. He took the league by storm. He led them more. Again, I'll be the first to admit, I was skewed on this. I'm all about Dak. Dak's having the greatest rookie year I'd ever seen a quarterback have. Well, he had that guy doing that for him. And he, remember, Zeke was running it and catching it and running it. And you remember that fateful game at Pittsburgh when he took one to the house. Woo. Okay, so I saw that happen. I saw them go 13-3 and have home field advantage all the way through the playoffs. And then I saw them lose to Aaron Rodgers in their first home playoff game. I just want to see that style of football return. And I think Mike will bang away. I think we'll see a lot heavier run influence, that they'll be a little more Raven-like, if you will, than they've been. Under Kellen Moore, it was sis, boom, ba, snap, crackle, pop. It was a lot of throws.
But here's the thing, though, Skip. What happens when you get behind and Dak has to throw, and you're asking him to throw more than you want?
Hopefully you don't. I mean, I give you that if you get behind. Maybe you start to forge leads. And you grind people down into sawdust with your running.
Are you going to go as far as Mike and the Marauders take you?
Well, that again, that's my calling card.
Okay.
And when you bring in Stephon Gilmore as still a top five corner, all of a sudden you've solidified everything to me because that was the weak link on the defense. You fixed your weakest link.
That might have been your calling card, but Dak wrote down the wrong number.
Okay, well, I got it. But he didn't have a real speed receiver, and they went and got Brandon Cooks, who's a legitimate veteran, proven, made man of a deep threat.
I thought you had Michael Gallup.
Okay, well, he's coming off total knee reconstruction, and he's talking now. I feel a lot stronger and quicker than I did a year ago.
Okay,
so again, you've got CeeDee Lamb. We're going to talk about the receiver rankings. He's a top 10 Pro Football Focus, has him as the eighth receiver. Okay, whatever. He's a top 10 receiver. He's still a one to me. And Brandon Cooks is going to make him a better one. And if you split it, listen, Tony Pollard can really catch it and run it. You know that, and I know that.
Yeah.
Deuce Vaughn, listen, I watch Kansas State, unfortunately, a whole lot because they terrorize my Oklahoma Sooners. He is most lethal when they split him out and put him in the slot because you can't cover him. He's just quick. He's cartoon quick.
Right.
And he can really catch it. So if you start to feature Tony Pollard and Deuce out of the backfield more, in the slot more, I'm just saying the weapons are there. There are more weapons than they had a year ago. They were a little one-dimensional last year as more of a throwing offense because they kept going back to the Zeke well, and it was dry, right? Mm-hmm. How many times did they 1 yard in a cloud of dust to Ezekiel Elliott? And I still love him, but he hit the wall he used to try to run through.
Right.
Okay, so what's not to like about, at least Mike McCarthy is a new voice. In fact, he's such a new voice.
But you don't like his voice.
Okay, well, he's a blue-collar Pittsburgh. Do you know that Pittsburgh accent?
Yeah, I do.
Dave Wonstadt, my friend Dave. You just hear it.
Yeah.
Well, that's Dak's saying, I'm hearing it in my ear. I can't even, it's like a foreign language. Yeah. Like, what? And they'll figure that part out. But listen, there was a time covering this league the way I did cover it. But back in those first couple of years with Aaron Rodgers, people around the league were saying Mike McCarthy, you know how people overreact, but they were saying Mike McCarthy's a play-calling genius. And he earned his spurs around the league, calling plays in San Francisco, and he came up in Kansas City with Paul Hackett. He was a play caller by trade. Okay, might as well try it. Might as well get your money out of him because I'm not sure what he used to do.
So how did play calling work in Dak's absence? When last year, when Dak missed five games, they went 4-1. How was the play calling?
Yeah, okay.
And
well,
that was
about Cooper Rush, and it was about low risk, higher reward.
Did he call the plays himself, or was that Kellen Moore?
That was Kellen Moore.
Okay, here's the thing. But how about this right here? Tell me this, because I remember Dak, Jerry Jones says, turnovers is not in Dak's DNA. He said that, right? Okay. In the last three seasons, Dak, 33 regular season games, in those 33 starts, he's thrown 29 interceptions.
Yep.
He's fumbled the ball 21 times. He's lost 10. So that's 39 turnovers in 33 games, including 28 in one-score games. So I ask you, Mr. Bayless.
Yes.
Is turnovers in Dak Prescott's DNA?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They were in his DNA if you watched him at Tuscaloosa when he was at Mississippi State. Go back and check that film out. See how many times he turned it over against Bama when
that was the number one team.
They vaulted to number one
in
the nation.
Yeah, they did.
And they go to Tuscaloosa. That's a graveyard for number one teams, right?
Yes.
Nope. Were they good enough? No, they weren't good enough. Was he a very good college player? Yes, he was.
Right.
But he was more of a dual threat.
Right.
Okay. I give you all that. I don't argue with it. I'm not a big fan of his for all those reasons. But there are ways to work around him, even though you say it's the most important position. It is.
Yeah.
Times 10, it's the most
important. Why we got to work around a man making $40 million?
Okay. There is a way to run the football and play defense in this day and age and still be a very good team. Maybe not a great one. Maybe not win the Super Bowl. But maybe get to the NFC Championship. Do I see them getting there? I give them high possibilities. I'd already predicted on my podcast. I see them getting to play San Francisco in the NFC Championship.
You do realize that going to be wanting a contract extension, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
And for a guy that you got to play around.
He's already hurt us enough cap-wise.
Yep. Get ready to be hurt some more.
Yeah. You know, it's very possible Jerry should have just cut bait.
You go talk about hold on, you just, now you say you want Jerry to cut bait with him.
What is Dak? What is he? He's a top 15 quarterback?
Yes.
Okay, so there are 32. So he's
middle of the pack Dak.
Middle of the pack Dak. Okay, I give you that. Not bad. Not great.
Okay.
Can you get better than that? You could. You maybe got to get a little lucky, but again, you also have to have guts to plunge and see if you can improve on
that. Not a man want to get rid of Dak. After you done made a compelling
play. I said it then. I was saying it then. Remember, Brady was going to be on the market. I said, just go get Brady for 2 years. Guess what he did in Tampa?
You know that wasn't going to work.
Brady and Jerry?
Yeah, exactly. How that going to work? That man, you think Jerry turning control over to the Cowboys to anybody?
Or get the face of the Cowboys over to anybody.
Stop.
Okay, I got it. I think you're a little afraid of this up-and-coming new Cowboy team. I think you're...
Skip.
I think you got some fear in your heart of hearts.
It's Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. You know the movie.
Do I?
Yes!
I know five championships.
Yeah.
I know that movie.
Friday the 13th. Yeah. There've been 27 of them. What happened?
North Dallas 40. That's a real movie. What happened?
Yes.
They were great.
Don't say great in Cowboys since 95, okay? That's the last time y'all been great, okay?
Well, we have a great legacy, and we are going to polish our legacy this year.
What about future? The legacy's already happened.
It has.
What about the future?
We'll see.
We got an
NFC Championship game this year.
You said that last year.
It's the first time since 1995 season. We are going to be back in it.
You just said that last year.
Okay, we were almost there.
Are you
Cowboys offense
like two
was
rounds.
Good for 355 yards a game last season, guys.
Yeah.
That was 11th in the NFL. We'll see if Mike McCarthy can improve that.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.